Welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman, brought to you by globalresearch.ca. Today we go back to the topic of political prisoners, and I have two guests on the program. I have Jenny Duca. She's the wife of Tristan Duca. And I have Tristan's brother, Burum. And I believe Burum will come on first, but let me just explain what this is all about. Jenny was on the program about 6 weeks ago, around mid-March. Her husband is one of the so-called Fort Dix Five. Back in December, they were convicted, literally convicted of conspiring to wage war against the U.S. Army. Now just imagine the absurdity of charges like that. Well, they not only were charged with it, they were convicted of it. And this past week, on two consecutive days, three on the first day, two on the second, four of the five men, young Muslim men, four of them were sentenced to life in prison plus 30 years. The other one got 33 years, I believe. They did absolutely nothing. There was no plot. There was no crime. There was nothing done. They never intended to do anything. They were victimized by an FBI sting. They were targeted. Oh, we've had this topic on this program many times. Different people for different reasons, targeted for their faith, for their ethnicity, in some cases for their prominence, their charity. And we call these people terrorists or conspiring to commit terrorism. Those were the charges against the Fort Dix Five. Not terrorism itself, not charges of attempting to commit murder, but conspiracy to commit murder. To go on Fort Dix, New Jersey, where in the 1950s I was stationed briefly, I couldn't imagine anybody walking on that base and with weapons that would be impossible to conceal, automatic weapons, maybe a handgun. I don't know what security they had in those days, back in the 1950s, after the Korean War. It would be impossible today. Nobody could get on that base. And certainly not with automatic weapons. And there were some accounts in the newspapers, like New York Times, Washington Post. I believe this one was in the Washington Post. That talked about using rocket grenade launchers. You don't exactly stick one of those in your pocket. Again, the charges were absolutely preposterous. But these men were sentenced, and I believe under federal law, with no parole. If these convictions hold up, they will be appealed. Life in prison. And they're completely innocent. Simply because they're Muslim men. And they were picked out. It was a very innocent thing that happened. It never should have happened at all. They never should have been targeted. But it was a very innocent thing that happened. And as a result of it, as of this moment, they will spend the rest of their lives in prison. This will go to an appeals court. And there is at least one example that I know of a Muslim sheikh, because I wrote about him, who was sentenced to hard time, 75 years in prison, roughly, as I believe, and an appeals court overturned the verdict. So all is not lost. You may have to look hard and fast for the good judges, but there are some out there. Hopefully one will be found for the Fort Dix Five. And they absolutely won't put up with this outrageous verdict. We need to take a break. And Burum, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, bear with me. I wanted to give this a good introduction.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Duca. He's the brother of Tristan Duca. And later in the program, we'll get Jenny Duca on. Just one other comment. We claim to be a democratic nation, a nation where the rule of law is sacred. well, we reward Wall Street criminals, the worst kind of criminals, with trillions of dollars, and we take innocent men and we sentence them to life in prison, and we call that abiding by the rule of law? Well, it's not what I call it. Burham, let me welcome you to the program, and I look forward to hearing your comments. Your brother is affected, and this deeply touches you and everybody else connected to with Jenny and and Dristan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One thing, like the judge, when they sentenced the fifth guy, Siddharth Tatar, he didn't mention like God, like Allah. In our religion, we call God Allah. And then after that, the judge said this defendant didn't mention God, so I'm going to only sentence him to 33 years. And he said, because the other defendants mentioned God, I'm going to, that's what he like meant by that, by what he said. Because the other defendants mentioned God, I'm going to give them life.
You were there in the courtroom when during the sentencing?
Yes, I was.
Well, I think the judge, I read some comments that were posted in a couple of newspaper reports. It sounded like this judge was extremely racist by the comments I read.
Yes, he was.
Well, you were there. You heard what he said. And generally, that's what will happen. It doesn't happen all the time, Burham, because there are some good ones who simply can't stand this.
Yeah.
They see what's going on. They see it's a witch hunt. They see the people who never should even be in the courtroom.
Yeah, I'm glad that
have to face this. And they go through so many trials, including trials, charges brought by the FBI.
Yeah.
And they see this same thing done over and over again.
Yeah.
And yet you get bad ones like the one that you got, and they sent innocent people to prison like this.
Yeah, I'm glad the judge mentioned that in the court because it's going to help us with the appeal.
Oh, that would help a lot. What did your lawyer say after this was all said and done, that there are flaws and very definitely you've got an appealable case?
Yeah, and the lawyer said 100% that they'll accept the appeal because they have very strong evidence that this was injustice.
Well, there's a clear case of entrapment in this case.
Yes,
we're all five there were two FBI informants involved. These were less than the most reputable kind of people who were paid an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
I mentioned it in my article. One of them got something on the order of $240,000 over a number of months to tape conversations. And the other one got about $140,000, I believe, because he did it for a shorter period of time. But they egged these young men on. They egged them on to try to elicit responses that the FBI could piece together and make the case that they were plotting to commit an attack, when in fact, of course, there was no plot and no intent to do anything.
That's exactly what happened.
But if you tape enough conversations, Burham, you can probably piece together something so you can replay tape in a courtroom and make it sound like you're talking about some very dangerous characters.
That's what the government did. They cut and pasted. They even said it straight out in the courtroom. We cut and pasted a lot of things.
Oh, my goodness. So you take words. You literally can take words and recreate something that never was said at all simply by having a lot of random words and putting them together in any order you want to make any case that you want to make, and you claim that it's legitimate evidence. But this is our government. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Well, this is what a police state does, Burham. This is what they do in a police state, except maybe they go one step further. Well, some of them have trials. I think pretty much police states have trials, except that you walk in and you're guilty, and they don't last. The trial in this case lasted about 8 weeks, I believe.
Yes.
Well, they don't last eight weeks. Some of them may last 8 minutes. The way they went on in Stalinist Russia, in Nazi Germany, in other extremely tyrannical states, where every judge is a hanging judge, and he darn well better be, because he won't stay on the bench very long. So you walk in, guilty, case closed, next case.
Yeah.
It goes like that. But sometimes it has a little bit more of a veneer of a trial, where maybe it would last a number of hours or a day, but the verdict is predetermined and the case closed again, next case.
Yeah.
Well, this one went on for 8 weeks to give it an even greater veneer of legitimacy, but it has no legitimacy at all.
Yeah.
And our courts, Burham, are stacked with right-wing extremist judges. And even the Democrats allow these people to be confirmed on the federal bench. They have to be confirmed by the Congress. And Democrats could block some of these people. A few of them get blocked, but not too many. And they allow extremist right-wing judges to sit on the bench. And these are the kind of people so often who judge innocent people and call them guilty. Again, there's no justice when things like this happen.
Oh, yeah.
Were you there during the trial back last year?
Yes, I was there almost every day.
Almost every day.
Yes.
And Jenny and the other family members as well?
Yes. All of us were there almost every day, you could say.
Oh, my goodness. I have contact with three other innocent Muslim men who were convicted the same way, Burham, and I wrote about them.
Yeah.
And I exchange emails with them. All three are in federal prisons called communication management units,
mm-hmm.
where Muslim men are separated from the rest of the prison population. And what they'll do is they'll put in a designated, a nominal non-Muslim to make it look like it's not a segregated facility.
Yeah.
But this is in violation of U.S. prison regulations. It's in violation of a U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
I wrote about both. But they do it anyway. And they give these prisoners, they don't treat them like in Guantanamo.
No.
But they give them fewer privileges than the rest of the prison population, like less family time, less time on the phone, less family visits. And when families come, there's no physical touching. Everything is on
through
both
glass.
Sides of a separation glass.
Yeah.
So you can see each other, but you can't touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where other prisoners, including convicted murderers, get more rights than people, innocent people,
yeah.
who we call terrorists or conspiring to commit terrorism. And this is the war that this country wages against Islam. So my article was called The War on Islam, but it can turn out to be the war on all of us. It's the reason I like to end my articles. If I wrote an article on Dristan alone, my end line of the article, the end line of the article on the Fourth Pigs Five was, essentially today we're all as vulnerable as the Fourth Pigs Five. Today it's Dristan Aduka. And tomorrow it can be you, me, or anybody else. If they want to go after us, they can concoct a crazy case, and they can convince a judge and jury that we're bad guys, and they can lock us up in a federal prison forever.
Yeah.
And that's the way things are going in this country. I must say, Burham, that these things went on many, many years ago, but they seem to get worse over the years, especially since 9/11. And we enacted a series of police state laws. The USA Patriot Act alone basically annulled three or four of our Bill of Rights amendments. It was an astonishing, it's an illegal act, and a legitimate appeals court and Supreme Court would rule it unconstitutional and that it should no longer be in force. But illegal search and seizure, illegal spying, things like this.
Yeah.
Now it's done routinely against anybody. And this act was passed. This act ran about 300 pages or more. And within 4 weeks of the 9/11 event, it passed the Congress.
Mm.
I don't remember if it was unanimous, but it was pretty close.
Yeah.
It was written in advance, just waiting for an excuse to pass it. Then a whole series of other laws were passed. Homeland Security Act. I refer to Homeland Security, Burham, as our national Gestapo, which is exactly what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing all the talking. I want you to comment on what's going on.
There's not much to talk about. You basically covered everything. Like, the government is very crooked nowadays. They build up a case on you and all that when nothing is even true. They have classified evidence, which was going to help my brothers, but they're not letting the defense attorneys take that evidence out. Because all the evidence, all the bad evidence that they have, that they say they have, and like 10 seconds later, you'll hear my brother saying something good, but they don't let that play to the jury. They didn't let that, the judge didn't let the evidence play to the jury.
And they have secret evidence that they call classified,
yeah.
And they give it to the judge, but they're not allowed to give it to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that whatever they have, which is really nothing, the defense has no access to it and can't present an argument against it.
Yeah.
And the government, again, uses the false argument that this is classified information and it can't be released. They do this all the time in all of these trials.
Yeah.
Well, occasionally a judge won't accept that. And, there's at least one or more of the people who I wrote about where that came up. I don't remember which one it was. I've written about so many now, Burham.
Yeah, it's not only our case, there's many cases.
Oh, it's all of them.
Yeah.
They're all the same. We need to take another break. The music means a break is coming.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
To the news hour. I'm on with Burham Duca. He's Tristan Duca's brother. Burham, let me just take a moment and mention a couple of other things. I should have mentioned this at the top of the program. I got a bit carried away in wanting to set the table for you. I just want to mention that hopefully readers of Global, listeners to this program will become regular readers of globalresearch.ca. The two of them go together. This program on air and the website with articles on crucially important topics with vital information that you just don't get in too many places.
Yeah.
And we're totally dependent on reader support to keep the website functioning. So I would urge listeners to this program to go to the site and as they're able, to please support globalresearch.ca, and it certainly supports this program as well. Again, the two are partnered in the same initiative.
Uh-huh.
And right now on the site for them, there are several very important articles on the current swine flu scare that I'm sure listeners remember. Back in 2006, we had an avian flu scare. It was all hocus pocus hokum. It was nothing. And yet I just did a little checking going back to see what kind of headlines were around then. Well, the World Bank at that time said that the potential for a deadly pandemic was so great it could possibly kill as many as 70 million people. Well, when all was said and done, a few hundred people died. It's not even sure how many from avian flu. There are all kinds of strains of flu. And my goodness, elderly people contract pneumonia if their resistance is weak.
Yeah.
It's a common cause of death. It's got nothing to do with swine or avian or any other kind of flu per se.
Uh-huh.
It's the result of weakened resistance, so they're susceptible to a flu that for a healthy person you'd be ill for a few days or a week. You'd recover, you'd feel fine, everything would be okay. Everybody comes down with the flu every now and then.
Yeah.
If you're old enough and your resistance is weak enough, you could be susceptible to something more serious. But it looks like this swine flu is the same kind of fake nonsense that the avian flu was a few years ago. And there's strong evidence, by the way, that last year, or maybe prior to last year, the pharmaceutical industry combined with the Pentagon had an effort going to genetically weaponize the avian flu. And if that's the case, it could be that some kind of an epidemic could result from that. Well, everybody in the military was vaccinated against the avian flu, a dangerous flu. This product that's widely used, it's pretty dangerous. The symptoms can be kind of nasty. So the supposed cure is worse than the threat of getting the disease.
Yeah.
And there are lots of good ways to protect against getting the flu. Wash your hands. Use disinfectants. Stay away from high-risk foods. My God, I do. it's amazing. Simple precautions can be a lot more protective than taking a dangerous drug that may end up making you very ill.
Yes.
Especially when there really is no threat at all, unless our government wants to unleash a deadly Andromeda drain on us.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, there's a real threat. But that would be something unleashed by our own government against us. And no vaccine. Well, it could be that the vaccine would be deadly that they want us to take, and we'll all get sick from it. Who knows what they have in mind? Anyway, I wanted to get that in. Forum. Let's get back to Tristan again. And any more comments from you, and then maybe we can get Jenny on and have her comment on the. I don't have to ask her what her feelings are. I know darn well what her feelings are and yours. But any more comments from you on what you saw?
My brothers, all three of my brothers, they spoke on the day of the sentencing. They proved that there was no conspiracy. They took out all the evidence, my brothers, on the day they spoke. And my brothers, you could tell they studied all the evidence, and they did it by dates as well, because they claimed one of my brothers, Elgevir, they claimed he was in the conspiracy from the very beginning. They claimed that Mohammed Schnur said he would talk to Elgevir Duca, which is another defendant, Mohammed Schnur.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother took out the evidence where Mohammed Schnur tells the informant, no, I never talked to the Duca brothers. But the judge never let that evidence come out. But my brothers still took the evidence out on the day they spoke. And the judge was still denying it. He was just plain racist, the judge. My brother, my second oldest brother, Shane, he took out the evidence about one informant, Mahmoud Omar. While he was in the witness stand, he did a conspiracy with his cousin over the phone to blow up New York City. And my brother Shane told the judge, how come you aren't arresting him when he said that he was going to blow up New York City in front of you, Your Honor? How come you're not arresting him for conspiracy to blow up New York City, but you're keeping innocent people in jail and treating the informant heavenly with money? The judge.
Indeed. And, of course, we're talking about three of your brothers.
Yeah.
So it's Tristan, and it's three brothers in total.
Yeah.
We're a family is just decimated by what has happened. Let's take another break. And
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Burham Duca. Burham, are you still on?
No, it's Jennifer now.
Oh, Jenny, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the program, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
This is just a terrible time for you and for Burham and for everybody else. How are your kids? How old are your children?
I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7, 5, and a 4-year-old.
So you have a big family.
Yes.
Do they all understand what's going on? The younger ones probably don't understand
the
older ones.
Yeah, no, the three younger ones don't really know. The two older ones know what's going on.
Two older ones know. 11 years old is plenty old enough to understand a good deal about what's going on. Not everything, but certainly enough to know that this was a terrible thing that happened.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Burham said one good thing, that your lawyer thinks that there's a lot of flaws in this case, and it very definitely is appealable.
Yeah.
And I want to stress to you again, one, one convicted Muslim man
mm-hmm.
who was sentenced to 75 years in prison. This was a Yemeni sheikh, and I wrote about him, did not have a program. I had no way to contact anybody to come on,
yeah.
And I don't know if he's been released yet, but his case went to appeal,
mm-hmm.
and the appeals court threw out the verdict. They threw out the verdict. Now the government can appeal to the Supreme Court. The second stage would be to go to an appeals court,
yeah.
And after that is the Supreme Court. I've heard nothing about the government appealing this to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this was when George Bush was still in office,
yeah.
So he's gone. Now, whether Obama would go to all that trouble, I don't know. The chances are less likely
yeah.
than under George Bush. So the key, I would say, is I guess you're discussing this with your lawyer. Usually the lawyer who handles the case at the first level will pass it on to a lawyer who specializes in appeals. Is that what will happen in this case?
Yes, I believe it is.
Somebody this is what they do. They handle cases at the appellate level.
Mm-hmm.
So that person would get it and present the case. And if the evidence is that flawed,
yeah.
then I would say there's a reasonable chance that this verdict will be overturned. They don't make their verdicts quickly. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Because I have had on this program a couple of times Lynn Stewart, a defense attorney, who defends. She lost her she lost her right to practice because she was convicted fraudulently for defending another Muslim man.
Yeah.
This goes back in the 1990s, and a terrible case was concocted against her. She was convicted, but the judge, after the jury came back with a conviction, I wrote about her a couple of times. This goes back a number of months. After the judge came, after the jury convicted her on so many counts, I believe it was about three counts. The judge was so upset that he nominally sentenced her to 16 months, and he basically chastised the prosecution, and suggested very strongly that the case was so weak that most likely it'll be overturned in appeal. Well, this goes back a number of months, so Lynn is still waiting for the appeals court verdict that I guess could come any time.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it takes time is they have so many cases that they can only do so much so fast. So they go through them, and I believe an appeals court has three judges. So
yeah.
All you need is to get two of them, two out of three.
Yeah.
Hopefully. There's a lot of this coming before a lot of appeals court justices, and they can see the injustice that has been done to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are cracks in the edifice, so that it appears that some of them just don't want to put up with this.
Yeah.
So have hope, Jenny. Have hope.
No, I do. I have
hope. That this can be overturned. And under the worst condition, my God, murderers get sentenced to 20 years.
Yeah,
they could be paroled. The worst kind of real criminals, murderers, rapists, about the only people that would get life in prison
mm-hmm.
is to really commit some heinous crime, probably
yeah.
more than one. So a serial killer might get life in prison. But generally, there's a parole process where even some of the worst of the worst can be paroled.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness. The charges that the Tristan and the others were convicted of,
mm-hmm.
there's no parole for something
no.
like this?
No.
It's like the mandatory drug laws,
yeah.
Jenny, where you have to sentence somebody. I've written about them, but it's been so long. I think a first offense is so much, a second offense is a lot more.
Yeah.
And on cocaine, it's far, far worse if you're convicted of crack cocaine than regular cocaine.
Yeah.
And the reason is because crack cocaine is more likely to be used by black people
yeah.
and regular cocaine by white people. So they sentenced black people to much harsher sentences than white people. And if you, I don't recall exactly the law. I'd have to go back and check it again. But I believe if it's something like a second offense or maybe a third offense, and you're caught with an ounce of marijuana or crack cocaine in your pocket, you can get 20 years or 30 years in prison with no parole. No parole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who should give a damn whether somebody wants to use any substance on their own body?
Yeah.
It's their body. They have a right to do anything with it they want. Doesn't belong to the state. Doesn't belong to the courts. It's your body. It's my body. And if I want to slash my arms or slash my wrists or use a dangerous drug, my God, all the legal ones are dangerous.
Yeah.
This drug that's being hyped as an antidote, as protection against this swine flu, is a very dangerous drug, potentially very dangerous, and it could kill people.
Yeah.
When it was taken against the avian flu, people died from taking this vaccine. So people should stay away from this drug. They absolutely should not take it. They should not be vaccinated for any reason. This is dangerous stuff. But that's okay. We want people to take it because the drug companies will make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the innocent people, heaven help you, if somebody catches you with just a tiny little bit of crack cocaine in your pocket.
Yeah.
My God, they'll send you away to high time in a federal prison. Well, in the
like
case
our case, with one of the defendants, he got 33 years.
And the other four got life plus 30 years.
Yes. And the reason for that, the judge said, was because he wasn't religious like the other defendants.
No, Burma said because the other four said God and one
said
Allah.
Yeah, he mentioned that. He kept saying, the other defendants kept saying their life is in Allah's hands, God's hands. And he turned to Sudan and said, well, your lives are in my hands, not God's.
But he didn't know what Allah was?
Yeah, he knew Allah and he kept saying it. And then he said that. He said
but that didn't bother him for somebody to say Allah didn't bother him.
No.
Well, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Jenny, have hope and have faith. And you know, when I read that, I forgot the date of the verdict, and then I saw a news report. I saw a little blurb actually in the newspaper. It was about five lines, and then I did a search to read more about the verdict.
Yeah.
And the best report I got was on the London Guardian, where all the New York Times did. You know, the leading newspaper in the world. The only thing the New York Times did was reprint a wire story, an AP wire story. My goodness, it's right in their backyard. They couldn't go to the courtroom. They couldn't cover this themselves. They couldn't write a legitimate report on it. They just picked up a short AP wire story. Well, I don't know if the London Guardian had anybody in the courtroom, but they wrote two legitimate stories. One after the three were convicted, and then a second story after the other two were sentenced, and a second story after the other two were sentenced. So they did a legitimate job, and I thought that I learned something from their article. I looked at some others as well, and they were very brief. They didn't really say anything, and the five lines that I saw in the newspaper basically said, you know, five men convicted of yada-da, assuming that they're guilty and they were sentenced and now they'll go to prison, case closed.
Yeah.
Not a line about, well, is this really legitimate? Should we look into this further? That just doesn't happen. The media goes right along with this.
Yeah.
And I've written before, Jenny, in the context of this nation waging a war on terrorism, which what it really is doing, it's waging a war on Islam, because Muslims are the designated targets. They're the designated targets. You don't see Jews targeted.
No.
You don't see Christians targeted. Certainly not in the context of a so-called war on terrorism.
Yeah.
This happened before, back in the 1980s, Ronald Reagan declared war on international terrorism.
Yeah.
Well, terrorism, international terrorism, it's really, really the same thing. But then it really blew up to be a major thing in the post-9/11 climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Muslims, again, were the designated people where they were literally rounded up a lot more than people charged fraudulently with crimes. But many thousands of Muslims were rounded up, harassed. Many were deported.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really a witch hunt situation where the FBI, I'm trying to remember what I wrote about going back several years, but the FBI was heavily staffed with new personnel to wage this war on Islam and literally conduct a reign of terror against it, mostly men, innocent Muslim men, a few women. And I had one program and wrote an article on one where this woman was just absolutely torn apart physically and mentally, and she's still in the prison system. Afia Siddiqui had her lawyer on to talk about it. But this has been going on continually, and the Obama administration is continuing the same thing.
Yeah.
I would say expect no help whatsoever from them.
Oh, I know that already.
the appellate court level, hopefully, but the Obama administration, no, they recharged. I forget if the Bush administration recharged. There were three men. I hope I've got the number right. I think it was three men, three black men in this case, who lived down in Florida, were charged with a plot. And I mentioned this very briefly in an article, charged with a plot to blow up an FBI building in the Miami area. Mm-hmm. And the Sears Tower in Chicago, where I live.
Yeah.
Well, again, they never plotted to do anything.
Yeah.
They went to trial, and twice they went to trial and were exonerated by the jury. They were retried by the Bush administration and exonerated a second time. And I don't know what the final status is, but they were retried a third time.
Yeah.
I don't recall if the Bush administration initiated the third trial or whether the Obama administration did it, but I want to follow that and see what happens. But I would guess there's a good chance they'll be exonerated a third time because the defense has the powerful evidence that two other juries threw this thing out. So occasionally there's justice, and it has to be played up to show how innocent people are fraudulently targeted. And we have to fight back, Jenny. I think I wanted to get you on more for any other reason than the combination of spreading the word even more to many listeners. A lot of people listen to this program, either live or through archives, that this kind of stuff is going on. And also to give you hope that this injustice can be overturned, because it can. So I think it's crucial to get a good appellate court lawyer,
yeah,
and present a strong case and hope that you're getting it before good judges. This will go before this will be in, I guess, I forget the numbers, the First Circuit Court in New York. I'll have to look that up. This will be the circuit. Will this be this where did the trial take place? What, where were you during the trial?
In New Jersey.
It was in New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that's in the same circuit as would handle cases for New York City,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And again, I forget the number, but it may be the First Circuit. This is one that I think has been a little lenient in some previous cases. So that gives you all the more reason to be hopeful that this can be overturned, especially with the kind of sentence that was handed down. That is so beyond the realm of anything that anybody should have to put up with.
Yeah.
That I would hope that at least two out of three judges are going to look at this and say, my God, we just can't let anything like this stand. I remember what they did in one case was, and I quoted them verbatim, they were very upset, and they overturned the district court verdict with very strong words, and they sent the whole case back to be done over again under a different judge, and they basically chastised the judge, the district court judge, for what he did in court. And if my memory serves me, this was the same circuit, appellate circuit, that will hear your case.
Yeah.
So have hope.
Oh, I do. I have hope.
Oh, have hope. Oh, don't give up for a minute. And Jenny, I welcome you back on this program anytime.
Thank you.
And when your husband and the others get exonerated, I want to hold up the greatest hope. I want to get them on this program.
Yeah.
All of them at the same time. All of them at the same time. And show that, gee, there really are some good people around.
Yeah.
Are there times I wish I could be a judge on one of those courts?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They would hear, oh my, they would hear something that they never heard before. I think I would press charges against the prosecution for filing fraudulent charges. I would want to bring them up.
Yeah.
Judges. That's what I would want to do. Well, whoever heard of a judge doing anything like that? Well, I guess a judge can't file charges. A judge can only hear charges. But
yeah.
A judge can certainly say whatever he or she wants to say. Nobody can hold them back.
Yeah.
And, oh, would I ever have a lecture to give in a courtroom?
Yeah.
I wonder if any newspaper would pick it up. Jenny, we have to take a break, and then we're getting near the end of the program. I want to give you a few minutes to just say a final few things. Again, I did so much of the talking. I don't mean to dominate it, but...
That's okay.
But we're both in this together.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and come back and give a final few comments. We'll be
okay.
Right back.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the News Hour. Jenny, one thing I didn't do, I want to do briefly, and then you conclude with your comments. I just want to mention the names of all of the ones involved. Three Duca brothers,
yes.
Your husband, Dristan, Shane, and correct me if I mispronounce his name, Elgevia?
Yeah, you said it right.
Elgevia?
Yes.
And then there was Mohammed
Schnur.
Schnur.
Yes.
He's an ethnic Jordanian. Your husband and his brothers, ethnic Albanians.
Yes.
Serdan Tata, he's an ethnic Turk.
Yes.
And then Agron Abdullahu.
Yes.
He's an ethnic Kosovar.
Yes.
I think listeners remember Kosovo back
yeah.
in 1999.
Yes.
They're the five.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, your comments. A couple of minutes left.
I just want to say thank you for those who know the truth and believe in us. And I'm just very angry and disappointed at this justice system we have for the convicting men, innocent men, on no facts. Or proof or evidence, just by assuming what they think they might have been thinking. And that's it. I have hope in the appeal. This whole thing will be overthrown, and I'm just waiting for that now.
I can assure you, Jenny, that I'm not the only one who supports you fully.
Yeah.
I am able to host a radio program so I can reach more people and spread the word on this. But there are a lot of people in this country who understand what's going on,
yeah.
and they're not happy about it. We need to arouse them to a greater level of anger, and to speak out more, to really do more, to put an end to these terrible, terrible injustices.
Yeah.
Otherwise, more innocent people will be affected. And again,
mm-hmm.
It can turn out to be anybody. They can come after any of us and do
yeah.
the same thing to us. So what do we do then? Shall we wait for them to do it?
Yeah.
Well, we can't do that, and we simply can't. We can't sit back and let injustices like this happen, especially something so grievously wrong
yeah.
as what was done to your husband and the others. It's simply, this would be a bad Hollywood script, Jenny.
Yeah.
If somebody brought a script like this into a producer, they'd laugh the writer right out of the producer's office. Because it just seems so crazy. I mean, what jury and judge would ever do something like this?
Yeah.
But it happened in real life. Truth, I guess, is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
But again, there's hope, and I just have to believe that this will be thrown out, And in the end, there'll be justice for your husband and the others. And what a glorious day that will be. You'll have to write a book about this. Maybe we'll do it together.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I exchange emails with three others who I've written about, and I've never met them personally, but we exchange emails. They're in prison, innocent men falsely convicted. So this goes on, and I go on and on. I'll never let go of this topic. Any last comment, Jenny? Anything more? Jenny?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, anything more you want to add?
No, I'm just very hopeful for the appeal. That's what I'm waiting for right now. For me, it's not over yet, so.
Oh, it's not over.
No.
The fat lady has not yet sung.
Nope,
that,
nope.
That is for sure. I'll leave you and just say, Jenny, that I really appreciate you coming on. And you have an open door to come back on this program anytime.
Thank you very much.
And that
much.
Goes for Borum, and that goes for the other family members as well.
Thank you.
Please express my best to them. And I guess today is Friday. We'll be back Monday with another live program. And we're live Monday through Friday next week with five more topics. Please join us then. Thanks again, Jenny.
Thank you for having me.